thankful tonight that I have found Jesus. Thankful how good that the Lord has been to me and that I know Him personally and that He called my name and was faithful to lead and guide me to the place that I am today. I've had some opportunity to work with people that you would think had all that life might have to offer. And I wouldn't trade my way of life with any of them. You see, you can't separate the activities with the consequences. Sometimes we might be tempted to think, well, we sing that song, If I Had 10,000 Lives, you know, and have you ever thought, well, maybe just 9,999, you know, there's some one life I wouldn't mind. But here's the thing. You don't get to choose what consequences follow the activities. And they're not pretty. And I'm thankful that the Lord made a way for all of us to have the best way of life. Thankful for salvation. Thankful that my sins are forgiven and that He paid the price that I couldn't pay. Thankful tonight for the city of refuge that we can run to. We have a city of refuge that is offered to everyone. In fact, tonight I'd like to start and briefly remind you about the city of refuges. Do you remember back when the children of Israel went into Canaan? The land was split up and made into different cities. And there were, I believe, six cities that were designated as cities of refuge. Talking about the cities of refuge just makes me smile. I love the thought of the city of the refuge. There were six cities of refuge. And here was the intent. The Levites, there was 12 tribes, there were 11 tribes, and the cities were divided up with them. But the tribe of Levi, they were given responsibility into different cities, being a priest, and the high priest was one of them, and they had some oversight of these cities of refuge. And the purpose of the cities of refuge was that if somebody in another city committed manslaughter, killed somebody, they could run to the city of refuge. And if they got to the city of refuge, then they had the opportunity to stand before and be judged by an honest congregation if it came to be known that it was not intentional and it was on an accident, they would be saved. You see, under that law, under the Mosaic law, if you killed somebody, regardless, you paid the price in blood. Yes. And there was an avenger of the one who was slain, their family. They could come take your life. Yes. But if you could run to the city of refuge, and you could make it to the city of refuge, your life could be spared. And you would stay in the city of refuge until, and you would be safe there. Didn't have to worry about your life being taken. Until the high priest passed away. And when the high priest died, then you are free to go back to your land and you didn't have to worry anymore. Free. Now, it doesn't seem to be a far stretch to me that somebody might be in a city somewhere working, and there'd be some commotion behind them, and they turn around and look, and somebody is running just as fast as they could go. Fleeing. And maybe not far behind them, somebody else was after them. Maybe with a club in their hand, or a spear or something. And you'd look at that, and the person running was fleeing as fast as they could to try to get to the city of refuge before they were overtaken. Might not have time to get a horse. It may be all you could do just to flee as fast as you can get there. But if they could get there, they have the opportunity to be saved. And I'm thinking tonight, we have the opportunity to run to the city of refuge. But we have to be willing to run to the city of refuge. You have to be willing to run where the city of refuge exists. You see, if that individual decided, well, you know, I'm just going to try to hide this thing. Hopefully nobody saw. Maybe nobody noticed. And I'm going to just try to take cover. You might be able to get by with it for a little while. But there's a little saying that says the wheels of justice move slowly, but they do move. And one of these days, that transgression or that sin may come to the surface, and you might just find your life taken at the most unexpected time. Because eventually, your transgression is going to be found out. Or it may be that you just decide that you're not going to deal with the fact that you took somebody's life. And you ignore it. You act like it never happened. You can do that if you want. But the truth of the matter is, you took somebody's life, and there's going to be an avenger that's going to come after you to take your life. And so the way to handle it is that as soon as you recognize that there was an issue and that your life was at stake, what you needed to do was flee to the city of refuge. And if you could get to the city of refuge, you can be saved. That is what we need to do this evening. Every one of us needs to flee to the city of refuge. Not to try to cover up. Not to try to hide. Whatever issues you have, whatever sins are in the past, in your past, or if there are things that the Lord has revealed to you that you have room to improve, don't try to cover it up. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to act like it's not there. You might get by with it for a while. You might live a lot of years with it. But there's going to come a time where you're going to stand before the judge who has the opportunity to execute judgment according to the transgressions committed. And so the answer to this is that when you see that need, when God reveals it to you, as we talked about last night, do not delay. Don't defer action. Flee to the city of refuge. There is salvation there. There's hope there. There's redemption there. There's new life, a new lease on life at the city of refuge. We just have to run to get there. We just have to do our part. God paid the price. He just wants us to acknowledge what it was He paid the price for. Don't try to cover it up. Run to the city of refuge. I'd like to read a verse in the 28th chapter of Proverbs. In the 13th verse, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." What does it mean to cover? When you cover something up, it means that either you don't want to acknowledge it. Perhaps you don't want to acknowledge it to yourself. You don't want to acknowledge it to somebody else. Maybe you're not being honest about it, but you try to cover it up and you don't get it out there in the open. You act like it's not there, or at least try to deceive others into thinking that it's not there. Why would we do that? Why is it that we as people cover up? What do we cover up for? A lot of times we cover up, well, there's different reasons we cover up. You know, there's accountability that comes with honesty sometimes. Yeah. And if you don't cover some things up and you just acknowledge it like it is, well, there's accountability that comes with that. Do you know that three words that are some of the most difficult words to say in the English language is "I was wrong"? Why do we have such a hard time saying "I was wrong"? Or two words, "I'm sorry"? Why do we have such a hard time with that? Sometimes it's because if we say, "I was wrong," that means that we have some accountability to whatever it was that we were wrong. Maybe we don't want to humble ourselves. Maybe we don't want to change whatever it was we were doing. Maybe we want to continue that way of life. There's lots of different reasons why we do that. Confession brings responsibility. And so if we can move the responsibility off the table, then we can live how we'd like to live. I've told this story before. Poodle and Nora are going to have to forgive me and my family. But I have a, well, he said I could tell it, so I have a son. And when he was young, before he ever was in school, I don't know how, he was old enough to talk. That's about as old as he was. And I was working at my workbench, and he was behind me. And I turned around and looked, and he was down there fiddling with my small sockets. Small set of sockets. And I looked at him and I said, "Don't play with those." I said, you'll lose those or they get separated out. Leave those alone. And I turned back around, confident that my good parenting skills had done the trick, and that was the end of the story. And I continued to do what I was doing, and for some reason looked around sometime later, and he was sitting there just as peacefully playing with those as if nothing had ever been said. And I was aghast. He was just a few feet away from me, and he wasn't concerned. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't trying to hide it. He was just playing. And I said, I was so surprised. I said, didn't I tell you not to play with those? And he looked up at me just as peaceful, no rebellion in his voice. He said, I decided to ignore what you said. And I looked at him. Now, he found out that he probably shouldn't have ignored me. That wasn't the best thing to do. But here's what really stuck with me. The message just came out of him. I could see it. He thought that if he acted like I never said it, he wouldn't be accountable.
Yeah.
So if I just act like that Dad didn't say that, I can continue to do what I want to do, and I don't have to change my way.
No.
You think we ever do that?
Lord,
no. I don't know that we ever tell the Lord, well, I decided to ignore what you said. I don't know that we ever do that. But this starts to become clear why we cover so many things up. God talks to our hearts. He convicts us. His Holy Spirit is faithful to us. And yet, the next day, we're going down the road doing the same thing we were doing yesterday. And yet the Lord put His finger on it. But here we are going down the road doing it. Why? We're covering up. We don't want to acknowledge. We don't want to confess. We don't want the responsibility. And the scripture we read said, he that covereth his sins won't prosper. That's all. Period. It's not unless you have a really good reason and maybe we can change the word of the Lord once I understand your reason better. The word of the Lord is truth. It doesn't change.
Amen.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That's it. End of story.
Yep.
But there's the good news. There's always good news with the gospel.
Yes.
It doesn't ever just end with, you know, the sword and the whip. God always gives us a way out.
Yes.
He gives us the city of refuge to run to.
Amen.
He gives us the horse to ride on to get there to beat the one that's chasing us sometimes.
Amen.
You just have to be willing to flee to the city of refuge.
Sure.
That's our responsibility. Run to the city of refuge. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. How much better deal does it get than that? I transgressed. I did wrong. I'm culpable. I'm guilty. I could be punished. And the Lord says, I paid the price for it.
Amen.
You just have to run to the city of refuge.
Sure.
You can do that. I'll help you do that. Don't delay. Don't defer action. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to act like it's not there. We're pros at that, folks. But we won't be pros one day.
No.
The man without the wedding garment was speechless. Didn't have anything to say. What was he going to say? He knew. He might have been able to talk the guys out at the front door of, I don't need the wedding garment. Here's why. I'm special. I'm a different circumstance. This is the way I think. My heart's really right. You probably don't understand where I'm coming from, but everybody else will understand. He might have been able to do that with the people at the front door. Just like we may be able to do that with each other. But there's coming a day that we're going to stand before the Almighty God. And there won't be any discussion. There won't be any more talk. It'll just be, you don't have a wedding garment. Where's your wedding garment? It wasn't a question. It was a statement, a fact. And the man was speechless. And the Lord said, cast him into outer darkness. He had the opportunity. My understanding is the wedding garments were provided for the guests.
That's right.
Wasn't like he didn't have enough money to get it. Everything was provided. He just needed to submit himself, say, you're right. I don't have on the right attire. You're right. I'll take on the wedding garment. But he didn't do that. Tonight, I don't want to cover up. I don't want to hide. I want to be honest with myself and God. I want to be intellectually honest with others and with God. I don't want to be in the place where the Lord says, you covered up your sin, when today is the day of salvation. David said it this way, Psalm 32 and 5. This says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. See, that's a short sentence too. I confess, I acknowledge, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Thank the Lord. Didn't say, if it's a certain kind of sin, well, as long as you don't do this, listen, back in the day with the City of Refuge, it covered manslaughter. It covered taking the life of someone else. And yet, the City of Refuge allowed for salvation to be found in the City of Refuge.
Amen.
And when the high priest died, they could go free. Our high priest, which is Christ, has died, and he has covered our sins, and he's made a way for you to flee to the City of Refuge. It doesn't get any better than that. Lord, help us to flee to the City of Refuge. Now I'd like to read a passage out of Revelation. In the third chapter of Revelation, this is Jesus talking. And he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Listen, I know thy works, period. That's all he said. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, get hold of this, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. There's the hope part. That thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness shall not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Listen to this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Flee to the City of Refuge. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice, I will come in to him. I'll open the door and come in to him and sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. He's talking about people that had sinned. Can be granted to come sit at his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Tonight, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I fear that too often we don't listen to the voice of God like we ought to listen to the voice of God. This is God talking to us. These are the words of the Lord. And when the Lord says to listen, He said, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. And He repeats that in here. Everybody that I know of that's here tonight, the vast majority of you can probably hear me. And I'm reading to you out of the book of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And the Lord says, if you have an ear, better hear. Better take note. You don't want to end up like the man without the wedding garment. When you knew, when you had been told, when it was made known unto you, don't cover it up. Don't act like you can go ahead and go into the wedding and everything is okay when it's not. If you have an ear to hear, let him hear. Don't just hear, but absorb. Don't have selective hearing. It's Sometimes somebody says something to you and you don't act like you're paying a lot of attention. The person said, "You hear what I said?" "Yeah, I heard what you say. What did I say?" And then it starts going downhill from there. Because they heard noise, but they didn't get the essence of the message that was being sent. When God speaks, I want to hear, I want to listen, I want to absorb, I want to know what it means for me.
Yes.
He told them, he said, "I know thy works." And this is what has struck me before. He didn't go into a long discourse about what the works were.
No.
He didn't have to. He's God.
Yes.
You might argue with me if I were to be so foolish to start to judge you based on your works and decide that when we get done talking, I'm going to decide whether you go to heaven or hell. He didn't give me that place. We know each other by our fruits. But we'd have to have this discourse. We start talking about, well, what works did you do? And, well, how did that... Not with God.
No.
I know my works. I'm not asking what your works are. I already know them. And he went right on to the next topic.
Yeah.
Did you know it's going to be just that serious when we stand before the Lord at the judgment?
Right.
You're not going to have the opportunity to say, "Well, wait, Lord. Wait, let me explain that. The reason that I did that... The reason that I wasn't unrighteous, the reason I was unrighteous, oh Lord, I was just trying to reach the people that were unrighteous. That's why I was unrighteous. I jumped in the mud puddle to tell the person that was dirty what it's like to be clean. My motives were good." God is not interested. He, at that time, He's not going to be interested in your reasons. He already knows. "I know your works." And He said, "You're not hot and you're not cold." Now, I know there are different things that we could bring out on what the cold and the hot means. But I want to tell you this. If you want to keep something cold or you want to keep it hot, there's going to have to be a constant source of energy being supplied to that thing. Otherwise, you are going to turn into lukewarm. You're going to turn into the temperature of your surroundings. That's what's going to happen. And if we live our lives without a constant power source from the Holy Spirit that we are allowing to come into our hearts and into our lives to lead us and to guide us and to direct us and to show us, we are going to become like the rest of the world, even if we don't look like it totally on the outside. The way of the Lord is more than a form. It's more than religion. It's more than a set of rules. It's an inward experience that is going to require the Spirit of God in your life. And the only way you're going to keep your temple clean is if you are diligent and careful and you don't delay and you don't defer action and you confess and you forsake, regardless of what everybody else thinks about you. That's the only way it's going to work. And the Lord said, "You're not hot and you're not cold." And because of that, because you don't have something to offer, I'll spew you out because you're lukewarm. God is looking for dependable servants of the Lord tonight.
Yes.
He's looking for a people that are willing to give them their whole heart and life and mind and soul and their heart, not once a week, not on Sundays, not just on Wednesday nights. He's looking for a people that care about being part of the army of the captain of the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
That's who He's looking for. He's looking for a people that are willing to run and flee to the city of refuge.
Yeah.
It didn't say He was looking for a people that have never made a mistake or never sinned. That's why He came to the earth. That's the good news of the gospel. It takes in every single one of us. But He's looking for a people that are willing to flee to the city of refuge however many times it takes.
Yeah.
Maybe that you've lived for a long time and you're afraid about fleeing to the city of refuge because you're afraid what other people are going to think. What if I step out and come to the altar? What are people going to think? What if people know that I made a mistake? Listen, the people back then, when they were fleeing to the city of refuge, their life was at stake.
Right.
They didn't have time to worry about what the guy over here was thinking when they went running by him with somebody hot on his heels. and then a crowd gathers and watches, and you're worried about all of that. You have got to keep your heart, your eyes, your mind on making it to the city of refuge.
Yes.
And the Lord will help you make it to the city of refuge.
Yes,
greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And the Lord is calling us. He's asking us, come, be one of my dependable servants of the Lord. I want you to be one of mine. You say, well, but I'm not good enough. I just seem like I keep failing. The righteous man falls 7 times and rises again.
Amen.
You might fall, but the Lord's looking for a people that are going to get up, not the one that's never fallen. Because all of us have fallen. He's looking for the person who's willing to get up and keep going forward.
Yes.
I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be neglectful. I don't want to be spiritually complacent. I don't want to be asleep at Zion.
No.
I don't want to feel a false sense of security because I look right on the outside. And no one else thinks that I'm off course. I don't want a false sense of security of that. I want to have a relationship with God that goes all the way down into the secret closet that I pray where it's just the two of us. Or whether I'm going down the road and the Spirit of the Lord comes in and overflows my cup. I want that kind of a relationship. And He wants you to have that kind of relationship. Got to flee to the city of refuge if you want that kind of relationship. He said, I know your works. And this is the status that you're in. This is the state that you're in. He said, because thou sayest. Did you know we say a lot of things? We say a lot of things. And just because we say it doesn't make it so. This was the Lord's words. He said, because you say, I am rich and increased with goods. I want to read a verse. I think it's the 23rd chapter of Psalm. This has caught my attention. Maybe it's Proverbs. Proverbs 24. 24 and 12. Listen. If thou sayest, if you say, behold, we didn't know. We didn't know. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? How many times do people say, a child might say, well, you say, well, why didn't you put your clothes where I told you to put them? Well, I didn't know. But I told you 10 minutes ago, but I didn't know. Do we ever say that to the Lord? Are we going to ever have the opportunity to tell the Lord, well, Lord, I'm okay. Everything's okay with me. Because thou sayest. Just because you say doesn't make it so. And when we stand before the Lord, and when you stand before the Lord, He's going to say, I know your works. I already know what you said to others, but I know who you are. I know your works. And because you said, I am rich and increased with goods, he wasn't talking about material things in this life. He was talking about those. Listen, he was talking to the church. He wasn't speaking to the world, saints. Get a hold of this. Are you still hearing? The Lord said, hear. If you have ears to hear, listen. Are you listening? He wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to the church. And he thought enough about it to put it in the Word of God so that I would read it. And so that you would read it. And that you would hear it. You say you're rich and increased with goods. And it's so easy for us to just become comfortable with our lifestyle. Well, it's just how we live. I dress this way. I don't go to the to the places of the world, and pretty soon it's just a lifestyle. Wind me up, point me in the direction, and that's where I'm going. And I'm okay now, because I'm doing all of these things. And we say, I'm good, everything's okay.
Yeah.
Are you covering something up? What's going on down in your heart? Do you have hurts? Do you have pride? Are you unwilling to be a disciple that God's calling you to be? Are there sins in the past that nobody else knows about? Are you partaking of things that nobody else knows you're partaking of, but when you go out the front door, all looks good, and it's easy to say, everything's okay, easy to come to church, and nobody look at you funny. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and yet know ye not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. God wants us to get to the place where we will acknowledge our need.
Yes.
Not so that He can cut us off. That's not what He wants to do. He said this, told them where their issue lay, and then He said, I counsel thee. Oh, thank God for the ability to receive counsel and have the opportunity to do something about it. To flee to the city of refuge. I'd rather be accountable now than be accountable at the judgment. If you got a problem in your life tonight, don't just sit there and let another day pass. Flee to the city of refuge. Be accountable for it. Get it out there in the open. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness shall not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. God wants us to get a spiritual vision that is broader and takes in so much more than the way of man. He has that for us. People say, well, I don't see it that way. I don't think that's necessary to live that way. You look at the verse, you look in the Bible, and it says, this is how you're supposed to live. There's some things that are pretty specific. Some things are pretty specific. And yet, you can go and find churches all around that will allow the very thing that's in here. And you look at that and you go, how can you say that you don't see a problem with that? But you know what? You get to the place where you want your way bad enough, and you're willing to cover it, and pretty soon you get that kind of stuff integrated into your stuff, and pretty soon you're comfortable with it, and you don't see the problem with it. And you say, well, there's some things I don't understand, but I don't see that. And you continue to live that way. God wants us to anoint our eyes with eye salve. He wants us to be filled with His Holy Spirit, that we might be able to see and know and understand what it is that He wants us to do. Sometimes we choose not to look, and then we say, well, I didn't see it. You ever done that? You ever gone through a red light but didn't see it red? Say, well, I didn't know I went through. I didn't see the red light. But you saw it turn yellow a long time before you got to the intersection. I did that one time. And I didn't want to stop. And I knew it was going to turn red. And about the time I got there, I just kind of looked down and slid right on through. Someone said, well, did you run a red light? Well, they didn't ask me that, but they could have. So I never saw a red light. Just because you don't look at it and get it out in the open doesn't mean that it's not so. Lady one time saw somebody heading towards her front door to ring the doorbell, and she didn't want to talk to him. She knew the doorbell was going to ring. She was an honest woman. Kind of. She walked out the back door so that when the doorbell rang, she wouldn't hear it. That way she could tell the lady, oh, I never heard the doorbell ring. Just because you choose not to look doesn't mean that it's not so. And the Lord said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Aren't you glad for the opportunity to repent? Aren't you glad that when you sin and when you err and when you make a mistake, it doesn't have to be the end? God has made a way. He has put a city of refuge for us that we can flee to. So the Scriptures tell us, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it is, and if every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, and it will, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We won't. But we don't have to neglect it. And we don't have to miss out. And we don't have to have our lives overtaken by sin in this life. We don't have to be lukewarm. Tonight, where are you? Have you covered some things up in your life? Are you doing some things you're not real proud of? Do you feel like that there is a vacancy in your soul that, well, you hear about it, you just don't experience it. You wish you had it, you feel like maybe it's just not for me. The good news this morning is, tonight is, that God has it for you. If you'll run to the city of refuge. May God help us to openly confess and acknowledge. It's the key to salvation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. There was a sense of urgency here. He didn't tell the church at Laodicea, I'm going to be knocking at your door down the road. He said, here's the issue. Here's the problem. And now I stand at the door and knock. And if you listen and you open the door, I'll come in and we'll make everything right. Has the Lord knocked on your heart's door? Or have you got so accustomed to that, the conviction that you had before, that now you don't even feel it? The things that once caused you to twitch, your conscience to twitch, and to feel conviction no longer bother you anymore. Now you can say, well, I don't feel that it's wrong, but did it used to? Is the Lord knocking and you're so busy and consumed with what it is that you're doing that you don't even hear it anymore? I want to close with these verses. Psalms 26 and 2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know me. Know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lamentations 3 and 40 says, let us search, not a cursory review, not a quick, I think I'm okay. Search your hearts. Let us search and try our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Make that your prayer every single day, tonight, in the fear of the Lord. Don't delay or defer action. If the Lord has talked to your heart tonight, or a week ago, or a year ago, you may be here tonight and not feel any conviction. But you may have a head knowledge that some time ago, you felt the conviction of the Lord and you didn't respond to it. He's given you another opportunity to flee to the city of refuge. And if we'll flee to the city of refuge, we can be part of the dependable servants of God, that when we get to the end of the way, He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, as opposed to depart from me, I never knew you. Pray for me, I want to be true.